Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. This is our fifth episode, a very exciting landmark. So far, we've covered developing and organizing your story ideas, committing to writing them, and then the four questions you need to ask yourself at some point in the novel writing process to make sure you have a good book. You can check out our websites for links to those episodes and related resources, and we'll be providing those links at the end of this episode, so stay tuned and have a pen ready. Now, Terrence will tell us about this week's topic, The View.
Hey, welcome to the show this week. I wanted to mention that Sarah did episode number 3 without me, where she was talking about the writing challenge. She actually led the August writing challenge, mm-hmm. and it's ongoing every month, and there's information about that on Sarah's site. But I did just want to kind of throw in something about that, was that the point of this was really not to get you to sign up necessarily for the writing challenge, but just to show you that how important a support system was.
That's right.
So whether you join a local writers group, whether you attend a writer's workshop, whether you do something online like Writers University or this writing challenge that Sarah's doing, the point we wanted you to take away from this is that it's a good support system for you, and also, wouldn't you say, Sarah, a very good way to hold you accountable.
Absolutely. And if you do happen to be interested in the writing challenge, you can go to writingchallenge.org and find out everything you want to know about that.
Okay. But yeah, that's what I said. We just wanted to make sure you knew that the point was that it's a solitary thing, writing.
Sure.
And it's very easy to have distractions. And if you have a full-time job and you're doing this on the side, so this is just a way, and if you're a part of a writer's group, then you have to show up with material too. Just whatever you do, it's just a way to make sure that you're moving forward in your journey as a writer.
That's right.
And so for this, today we're talking about The View. And of course, I'm not talking about the daytime talk show,
well,
Barbara Walters show.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about point of view. And so before you start writing, you have to decide how you're going to tell your story, or rather, who is going to tell your story. And so there are two main ways that this is done. There's first person and third person.
That's right. There's a second person, but Terrence and I agree, and I think most people would agree that just don't do it. Second person, we'll get to that, but just don't do it.
Yeah, it's a very difficult concept and rarely used successfully,
mm-hmm.
Even more so. So yes, the answer is there is a second person point of view, but we're going to be talking today about first person as in I and third person as in he or she.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the first person narrative, this is very straightforward. Your protagonist is telling the story. Your main character is telling the story there. And this is also the easiest way to do it because you're writing as if the events are happening to you. So for the same reason, it's easier for the reader to follow. So the only caveat I would say here is that you need to be aware that the only way that the reader can know how any of the characters are feeling or what's happening to them is if this information has been revealed to this character.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So you can't slip something in there, because it's very hard for a writer, because you've got all the information in your head, so you know all these different things. And so, but sometimes you got to remember your reader doesn't know this. And you can't, it doesn't logically make sense if you're telling it in the first person to be revealing something to your readers that this character wouldn't know. So that's just the only thing there. And I believe in your story, The Smuggler's Gambit, Sarah, that you're writing it in the first person, correct?
No, actually, this is in third person. First person intimidates me right now. I'm doing third person because actually there are some things that happen in this novel that, where the main character might not be on the scene, and so we need some information, and so I am writing it in third person.
Okay, now you want to tell everybody the difference, because there is a difference in third person. There's two kinds of third person narrative.
Sure. I'll make an effort, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So there's third person omniscient, which is you have the story is written from the point of view of an omniscient narrator, someone who is aware of all of the characters and all of the events and can talk about, you know, anything that anybody's feeling or anything that's happening to anyone at any given point in the story. Then there is third person restricted or third person limited, in which case the person telling the story only has a limited amount of information, usually surrounding the main character, but then they might also, occasionally it might switch and there might be a focus on other characters, but it's still limited, and you don't break in the middle of a chapter, I mean, or in the middle of a scene. You don't switch all of a sudden and have the focus of the scene be on, you know, one person and then another person in the middle of the scene as far as the internal struggle going on within that character, and what have you.
That's a good point to bring up, Sarah. This is very important, and this has happened to all of us in writing at some point there. If You can change point of views in a book, absolutely. You're not stuck with one particular point of view once you go in, but you must change the scene before you would change your point of view. And this is because it lets your reader know that there's been a shift in perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, because otherwise it's confusing for your reader. You start out in first person, and by the end of that scene, you've moved to third person. Are you not going to be confused reading this?
Yes, I would say it would be confusing.
Yeah. So this is one of these things that I think really probably holds up a lot of people. I've heard I don't even know how many stories of people when they wrote the first draft, and then when they went back in, they decided it didn't work that way, or an editor told them it didn't work that way,
mm-hmm.
and they had to change it. And boy, that's a pretty big deal, but it does change your whole story, doesn't it? I mean, it's still your same story, but you're telling it a completely different way, aren't you?
Yep, that's right. And in fact, one of our guests on episode 3, that actually happened with her once she finished writing her whole first draft, and then she had to go back and redo the whole thing in a different voice.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
That's hard. And sometimes, you know, but you don't know till you get to the end. And this is an important thing. Don't get hung up on these kind of things as you go along. What is it that your guest said that I loved the other day? Button chair, get there.
Yeah.
I've heard it put a lot of ways, but not that. But that's the basic thing there. Write your story. Don't get hung up on this because, you know, if you start questioning, should I change this or whatever in this chapter, and then you get bogged down, you go back and you start trying to change your point of view, it can just really mess you up. So my recommendation would be just write the story. And then at the end, when you look at it, or your beta readers look at it, an editor looks at it, you know, then you can decide if you need to go back and change the point of view. But you'll have your story in hand, complete.
Sure.
When you do that. So.
And I'm going to assume most of our listeners, I'm just going to assume most of them know about point of view, but if you need some examples and you want to be clear on different sorts of point of view, for instance, and you first person point of view, the things that come to mind to me immediately are Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. That was written in first person. It's fantastic story.
Yeah,
and then I'm a big fan of Cozy Mysteries. The Murder, She Wrote in a series are all written in first person by Jessica Fletcher, which is fantastic. And then third person, you know, perfect examples would be Harry Potter novels, Pride and Prejudice, any number. I mean, there's so many. Christmas Carol, I can think of endless novels written in third person. Second person, we alluded to that at the beginning of the episode. It's really sort of that's one where you would be writing a novel and you would be speaking to the person reading it as though they are engaged in the story themselves. Like you open the door and you enter the room and it's dark and you smell smoke and you can't figure out where it's coming from. And of course, the only thing that springs to mind for me with this are the series that I read when I was a kid, the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Did you ever read any of those, Taryn?
No.
It was a whole series where where the books were written in such a way that you are in the story and you have to choose the adventure. adventure. So beyond that, it's really not very effective for most storytelling.
There's a book I know, it's one of my favorite books, and it's a best-selling book. It came out a couple years ago, I believe. It's called Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern. We'll post it on the website so you can get the spelling and all. But this one, if you can believe it, Sarah, actually writes in first, second, and third person.
Oh.
And does it very successfully. And it's a very unique concept. I'm not going to get into all that, but this, I've never seen another book. You talk about originality. This is very hard to achieve in this day and age. This is a very original concept, and so
you have to have something special for the second person point of view to work. I mean, you really have to have something special. This is
a very unusual thing, mm-hmm. and their synopsis is brilliant, and it's the whole reason I bought the book, and it's what pulls you in, and it's the whole reason why no matter what happens, you're just going to go to the end because you're going to have to find out. The thing they tease you with in the synopsis. So, but anyway, we'll put all that on the website so they can see, and if they want to, you know, get any of these books and look at them and see what works. But I did just want to mention here, I guess when we're talking about this here, probably a lot of people are thinking, what's the best way to go?
Mm-hmm. I was just getting ready to ask you if you could think, you know, if there are some cases where it's general rule of thumb as it might be better to do it this way in some cases and this way in other cases.
Yeah, there really isn't a right or wrong way. I mean, it's really what works for your story. So, and that's why there's so many examples of both. But generally, if you have a small cast of characters, you know, maybe you only have one or two or three or four people in your story there that's all the characters that you're writing or talking about. Or you might be a simple story. It's a very straightforward story. Or one where you want to use, quirky language. In other words, you're trying to tell it from a unique character's perspective. Or if you especially want your readers to connect with one particular character, this is when first person point of view would be best.
Okay.
And so those are good rules for that. Third person is best when you're trying to reveal what's going on with a lot of characters. So if you have a large cast of characters in your story, this is definitely the way to go. If you want to insert any information that would be outside your character's thoughts, then that would also make a third-person story narrative. Or if you don't want to establish too close a connection between the main character and the reader, there's a lot of reasons why you might want to do that. But if you're wanting to not establish too close a connection, then you'd want to keep it in the third person. You know, so that's the thought on that. Now, third person restricted is a bit of a different thing. That's where you're allowing the action to be seen through a few characters rather than just one person, but not as full as an unrestricted, all-knowing third person narrative. And so there's times when that's going to be the best way to go. And this gives the author greater flexibility than first person, but keeps it simpler to work with than using an unrestricted or all-knowing third-person point of view.
I think probably the Smuggler's Gambit does fall under the category of third-person restricted, because although typically the focus is on mm-hmm. the main character, Adam, there's at least one scene or one series of scenes in which Adam is not immediately in the action that's being explained, and then there's one scene that needs to reveal some information about the book's villain, wonderful villain, and I need to have a conversation to which the main character is not, he doesn't need to hear it, but yet the reader needs to hear it, I think. I'm working through that though, because I'm in revision, so I might end up tweaking that a little bit.
Oh, hey, speaking of revisions, I did happen to hear in your podcast where you interviewed
Chrissy and Samantha.
Right. I did hear in that interview where you had to admit to them that I had told you that you would hit the wall most likely in your revision state.
Yes, yes. Well, you definitely told me that the time would come, because I was just writing fast and furious all through the month of July, and you said that you're going to hit the wall, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. Okay, well, maybe. I was a little bit skeptical. I thought there's a chance. I mean, you do. I definitely defer to your knowledge as having published as many books. You've got so many books out there, but you're right. I did. And I definitely will tell you that you told me so. And, you know, in the revisions process, I have found every imaginable way to procrastinate and not do it, because it's such a challenge. I mean, for me, it was a huge victory to get that first draft written. But then now to be in it and revising, and knowing that when I was writing it, I made little notes about things that I knew I was going to want to change. You know, it's daunting, but I'm getting it done. So
it is. And I just thought that was funny. Not because I got to say I told you so,
but
it's truthfully, when I told you, I could hear the skepticism. I knew you didn't believe what I was saying. And it's just, as a longtime writer, I just knew it was coming. And the only reason I had told you that was I didn't want you to be discouraged when it came, because this too shall pass. These are all phases in the writing process, and
that's right. And we should tell the listeners that we will have an entire episode dedicated to things that will happen when you're a writer, like things that you should know before you go into this, so that you won't be, you know, dismayed or shocked when they happen.
Discouraged is the big thing. I want people to know this is all just part of the process.
But we'll save that for a whole episode, and we'll dedicate an episode to those kinds of things.
Right. So in the chapter summary here, I'm just going to say you need to decide your point of view. You need to stick with the point of view during a scene. Mm-hmm. If you need to change a point of view, you've got to end the scene, the chapter, whatever the segment you're doing, and start new to indicate that there's a new point of view. And so that's pretty much what I want you to take away from this is, and don't get distraught if you get to the end of your book and you decide, or you're being told that it needs to be a different point of view. Because this is a common thing that happens, and it can be a little daunting at first to go through a whole book and change that. But once you get started and get into it, that's what I want people to take away from today. Oh, and I have my quote of the day here, quote of the week.
Okay.
Mark Frauenfelder. I hope I said that right.
Well, it'll be on the website anyway.
Okay. He's the author of Mad Professor. And I love what he said. He said, don't forget to write the book that you want to read.
Well, that's good advice. I've heard it many times. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's a good note to end this episode on. And we have more exciting episodes in store for you, so stay tuned. You can subscribe on iTunes, A Writer's Journey podcast. You can visit our websites. Mine is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com. And Terrence's is terrencezepke.com, which is terrencezepke.com. And we will look forward to having you back again. Thanks.